Our goal is, over the course of this year, to study introductions to important books. And by studying these introductions, we grow closer not just to the Mesorah, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to aspects of our own neshamas that maybe we never thought of and we never developed. So today, we're going to think about, at the end game, a halachic question that is a little bit of a conundrum, a challenge. A person goes to a shiva house, lo aleinu, and they go, let's say, sometimes they have mincha ma'ariv. So what do you do at a shiva house between mincha ma'ariv? You learn. And my rabbi, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, taught me when we were in Fairlawn. He always taught Pirkei Avos. And we discussed this because there is a problem with that. There's a problem with learning between Mincha Maariv and a shiva house. Why is there a problem? That's right. Because the din is in Shulchan Aruch that an Avel, somebody who's in mourning, is also B'Talmud Torah, is restricted from learning. And what we're going to try to explore today at the end of this story is why should it be that an Avel, a mourner, is prohibited to study Torah? That doesn't mean he's prohibited to study all of Torah. Let's say the law is pertinent to Avelis, that is permitted for an Avel and a few other things. But primarily, it's restricted. And we want to think about why. So let's put that on the back burner in terms of our overarching goal.
Davening as well. An Avel davening.
Right.
Includes
So Paul is asking an interesting question, which is worthy of study, which is which aspects of davening are a form of learning. The nafgamina of that question is what parts of davening do we say on Tisha B'Av in the morning? Because on Tisha B'Av a person is like a mourner. And so let's say Karbanos, for example, or Rabbi Yishmael. The reason Rabbi Yishmael was instituted is that a person should have a little bit of learning in the morning. So do we say Rabbi Yishmael on Tisha B'Av? Do we say Karbanos on Tisha B'Av? These are good questions. So to do that, to address that question, we're going to study an amazing introduction today of an amazing person. And the sefer that we're going to study, the introduction, the Hakdama, is known as the Eglei Tal. The Eglei Tal, which is the Hakdama that you have in front of you. Thank you. How often is it that you meet a giant in the world of Torah who tells you their life story? Not so often, because most times rabbis, giant rabbinic figures, kvod Elokim haster davar. They don't necessarily give you a glimpse into their life. And yet, when we open the words of the Eglei Tal, we actually have a life story. A life story of a man whose name was Rav Avram Borenstein, and he became ultimately known as the Sochachov Rebbe. It was the Rav in Sochachov, which is a small town right smack in the middle of Poland. He authored multiple volumes of responsa, profound rabbinic responsa, known as Avnei Nezer. So if you refer to this man, Rav Avram Borenstein, in the street, somebody asks you, have you heard of Rav Avram Borenstein? And they'll say, I don't know who that is. You'll say, oh, he's the author of the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer. They'll say, oh, wow. The Avnei Nezer. Those are mamish, amazing, amazing Tshuvas. I think I have 7 volumes of Shalos and Tshuvas Avnei Nezer. He died in 1910 at the age of 70. He was one of not just a Hasidic luminary, not just one of the great Hasidic masters of the end of the 19th century, but he was also one of the great giants of halacha. And so people wrote him shilas from all over. Now, I don't know exactly, there's a machlokas about how his name is pronounced, whether it was Bernstein or Bornstein. You have to check the family. Bornstein. So I have to check. I don't know if you're related or not related. You should say that you're related. The different questions how exactly it was pronounced. But this was one of the great giants. And what's amazing is that the story of this sefer, he tells us, is actually the story of his life. How this book came to be. So open the page. On the inside left column, you see the Sharblot of the the Sefer Egletal HaSholem, which was originally published by the Avnei Nezer, by the Sochet Shavar himself. And then this edition, which is what I have here in front of you, what I Xerox, is a new edition. Originally, the first Madura, the first edition of this, Yotzel Or in Pietrakov. A lot of Svarim were published in Pietrakov in Poland. This was originally published in Tuf Reish Samach Hei, which is 1905. That's when it was first published, 5 years before he died. This is going to be relevant. There's a reason why it was published specifically then, as you'll see in a moment. So this is a work, which we'll talk about the contents of the work, but right now, he's just going to tell us the story. So go to page 2. Vayan Avram Vayomer. So he uses already, right at the outset, he uses a poetic reference. Vayomer hapam oda Hashem, I will thank God, on line number 1, Asher miyoshvi beis medrash samchelki. He put me in the beis medrash, line number 2. Va'od kar havina talya, when I was a young child, limadni, adoni avi mori varabi, my father, my master, the teacher, zatzal, darki pilpul. When I was a young child, I studied with my father. His father was a rav, author of a sefer called Agudas Ezov. And then he writes, so then I was a little kid. How old was he? Little, like 6, 7, 8. V'kar havina kvar eser, line number 3, when I was 10 years old, chidushim chidashti. I started to be v'charish, I started to innovate in the world of learning at the age of 10. He's telling you his life story, says the Avnei Nezer. Achar kach, after that, nichnasli lefnai v'lefnim. I entered the inner of the inner. What is that a reference to? What is the inner of the inner? Okay, not exactly Kabbalah. Where would place be, a location that is referred to as the inner side of the inside? Lefnai v'lefnim? That's right, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he's saying, kivyachol, so to speak, I went into the inner sanctum of the world of learning. Where? Lebeis chami adoni mori v'rabi zatzal mikotsk. As a teenager, the Avnei Nezer married the daughter of the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe was a disciple of the Shalshalis of Peshischa. Just thinking about the Kotzker Rebbe, it makes you shake, makes you nervous. This man was, as the Pasuk says, hello, the words of the Rebbe Shammah like Eish. The Kotzker Rebbe was mamish like Eish. Rav Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, he was one of the, not just towering giants of the world of Hasidus in the 19th century, but he was very unique in his unceasing, unapologetic, unabashed quest for truth and nothing short of absolute truth. It was fire. By Kotzk, everything was mamish like fire. So there was a tremendous amount of intensity and scrutiny. I cannot possibly imagine what it must have been like to be married to the daughter of the Kotzker Rebbe. Ad kedei kach, that at one point, toward the end of his life, the Kotzker decided that he couldn't tolerate what was going on. He secluded himself from his chassidim for 19 years in his room. 19 years.
That he couldn't deal with.
So I'll tell you a quick maisa just to appreciate what this means. There's a story like this that people tell to understand what the Kotzker felt like. There once was a magical antelope. For anybody who doesn't like stories, this is a good time to go to sleep. There once was a magical antelope that lived in the forest. And a man from a village came out to the forest and he saw this magical antelope and it had a crown of horns. Antlers, beautiful magical antlers, and the villager had never seen elk like this, and certainly never seen these magical antlers. And the magical antlers were able to reach all the way to the heavens. So this villager sees these antlers, and he thinks to himself one thing: on Shul and Shabbos morning in Europe, by the Chassidim, in the Shtiblach, There was one big highlight in addition to the davening, and that was called tabak. Shmek tabak, a little smell of tobacco. If you had a tobacco holder, so you would go around shul, you would be a chosh of a guy, and you'd say, anybody, vils to shmek tabak, you want a little something. So this villager goes over to the antelope, and he says, holy elk, that you could see these are magical antlers. He says, can I ask you a favor? I'm just a plain guy. Can I ask you to lean over? I would like to cut off a small piece of your antlers and make it into a box to hold the tobacco for shul. And the antler is very gracious. He says, no problem. So he leans his head down, and the antlers that reached all the way to the heavens comes down, and this little peddler, this little villager, takes out a pocket knife, and he cuts off a little piece. And he takes it, and he carves it, and he shapes it into a little box for his tabak. And he comes to shul Shabbos morning, and of course, he used to be just Dama peasant, and now everybody's like, wow, they never saw anything that shined like this. Unbelievable. So this little peasant, he has a close friend who says to him after davening, Nu, tell me, where'd you get this box? What is that? So he says, nah, I can't tell you. It's a secret. Nu, bemet. So he says, you know, in the forest, there's an antelope, and it has magical horns that reach all the way, antlers that reach the heavens, and they sparkle. It's something unusual. So the man says, wow. So the next day, this other little villager, he tramps out to the forest, and he says to the antelope, he says, Nu, could I also have... And then you can imagine by the end of 3 or 4 weeks, one day this antelope looks up and he sees his antlers don't reach the heavens anymore. And that is the story they tell as to why the Kotzker left his chassidim. That's all I can tell you. I also don't know what it would be like to be in a room alone for 19 years. But the Kotzko was Mamish Eish. And so what's amazing is that the Sachet Shavar, the Avni Nezer, describes that first when he was younger, he learned Pilpul with his father. And then when he became a teenager, he went to learn with the Kotzker. And the Kotzker became his Rebbe. Not just his Rebbe in Chassidus, his Rebbe in Halacha, in learning Gemara. He taught him how to analyze. And you can imagine what kind of learning experience that must have been. And he tells it to us right here. He says, Mekor ha-chachma va-tvuna, mimenu line number 4, darkei ha-iyun lamadati. I learned how to analyze something in depth, how to get to the core of it. Yes?
So this was before the 19 years.
Yes.
So he must have cut off a lot of arms.
That's I wouldn't say that was from the Sachet Shavar, but I don't know. I can't tell you. This is Kotzk, it's a different world. It's very, very unbelievable. So then he says, I had so much amazing hashgacha with my learning and with my teaching, and I said to myself, maybe I should print a sefer, line number 6. Ah, he says, however, Lahadfis hadvarim, halfway down line 6, to print a book, al plahafitzam, to spread it, al pnei teva lo ola al daiti, ve'en lacha yafa minatznius. There's nothing better than modesty. He says, I don't want to print a book. That's very arrogant. That's very presumptuous. It's pretentious. It's better to be modest. I have my chidushei Torah, my insights, my novel perspectives. I'm not going to print a book. That's what he says. That's what's going on in my life. And after Achameyav Esrim, when I pass on, maybe somebody will find it worthwhile. They'll publish a book. At this time, the Avni Nezer, he moves to Sachachov. He establishes a yeshiva in his house. He's teaching. He has a whole group of students. Kacha ze olech. However, line number 9 at the end. However, his life takes a turn. Ka'es, now, la'es siknasi, in my old age, ba'avonosai, my sins, gavar olai choli hashi'ul, rachmana litzlan. What he calls choli hashi'ul. Shi'ul in modern Hebrew is, anybody know? Shi'ul? coughing. Sheol in modern Hebrew is a cough. So I don't know what illness he had, but he describes, he says, now that I'm elderly, I don't have the ability to teach anymore because I have this sickness that causes me to cough all the time. So what does he have to do? He has to give up his students. This was his life's work. He was teaching, and he was mechadesh his chidush, and he was passing not just his derech halimud, but his chidushi Torah to his talmidim. But now, he's sick and he can't teach because he has choli hashi'ul. And what does he say? V'lo yacholti lilmod im atalmidim v'nitzta'arti, line 11, v'nitzta'arti ma'od al zeh. I was so upset about this. You can imagine a man whose whole life is devoted to learning Torah and to teaching Torah, now to be told, you can't teach anymore. Because mitzvah aleinu lilmod ulalami lishma v'lasos ulalami goes there yosin godlo yosar milalmod. Teaching is greater than learning, says the Sachet Shavar. And he says, just like, God forbid, the Gemara says that somebody who causes somebody else to make a mistake, it's a very severe avera. Kal v'chomer, if you help somebody to learn. It's one thing to learn by yourself. It's another thing to share with somebody else, to inspire somebody else, to educate somebody else. He says, that's my life dream. And it's all going down the drain. So what do I do now? And therefore he decided, line number 15. He says, Amarti, halfway down the line, L'sakein ma'at lahatfis chidushim. I decide I'm going to write down a little bit of my insights. And I'm going to print them. V'talmidim hahogim bo yilmadu mitocho darchei limud. And people, students, maybe they can't come to my house anymore. Maybe they can't learn from me because I'm not well. But they can still learn my sefer. And in that way, I will fulfill my life goal of teaching students Torah. That is the story of how this Sefer came to be. Amazing. Amazing. So he starts collecting his Chidushei Torah. And what's interesting is how, we'll see in a minute perhaps why this is relevant, but how the idea of Chidushim, of novel interpretations, is important to him. Now, he says a little bit later on, if you notice, go down to line 16, where he says, Ubasi lahaskir, I want to mention, Hios kishamati shibizmana ze, today, ikar ha'ion atzirim besvaros. Most young people are interested in learning the world of svara, of logic, of thinking, of postulating, and not focusing on explaining the approaches of how to understand the words of the Rishonim. Go to line 19. V'shamati mimori chami zatzal. I heard from the Kutzker. Shagam bizmano. He complained about this, that people are not focusing. And therefore, line 20 says, Osi hisir ma'od lisa v'litain, lisa v'litain gam b'pshat. To understand the simple understanding and explain the opinions of the Rishonim. So he says, I'm going to give you some chidushim, and I'm also going to make sure to explain to you the pshat, the simple primary understanding of the Gemara, and how the great rabbinic authorities, the Rishonim, explain them. Some of you have heard this story, but I can't help myself. It fits so well with this, because Reb Schwartz, shall even be well, told us when we used to go with the entire kolol, when he was well, every year we would come to the CRC, and he would do like a reception for us, and all the fellows would introduce themselves. It was amazing. So every year he would tell us the same story, because we asked him to tell it every year, the same story for the new Talmidim, that in the early 1950s, he was in the first kolol at Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Dr. Belkin was formulating this small group. The Rosh Kolol was a man by the name of Rav Zipperstein, and Rav Soloveitchik used to give Machshava Chaburas. So they had a meeting. He said they had a meeting of the first kolol ever in YU. We know people who study in the kolol in YU. So they sat around the table, and Dr. Belkin, Zichrono Levracha, was there, and Rav Soloveitchik was there, and other Rav Zipperstein, and the boys were there. So Rav Schwartz said that somebody, maybe Dr. Belkin, he said, someone asked the question, what's the point of establishing a kolol in the yeshiva? So Rav Schwartz says, he didn't use this language, but in our language we would say he was a little punk. And he raised his hand, and he says, in Yiddish, he says, The point of a kolel is that the boys should be machadish chidushim. We should innovate Torah insights. He said when Rav Soloveitchik heard that, he thought he was going to explode. He went crazy. He was like, in Yiddish, he was screaming, machadish chidushim! You think your job here is to innovate? Who do you think you are? Who do we think we are? Our job is just mevarazan the Rishonim. Just to clarify what it says in the Rishonim. That's it. Don't get ahead of yourselves over here. Rav Schwartz said it was an unbelievable experience to see that. And then, of course, we all add to that story when the Rav was mevara the Rishonim, when Rav Soloveitchik just explained what it said in the Rishonim, every line was a chiddush. But that was his orientation. So the Rav was preceded by the Avnei Nezer, who was preceded by the Kotzku, who says, you know, everybody loves to say a good svar. Everybody wants to come up with an insight. You want to say your chidushei Torah. You want to come up with anything. The Kotzker said to the Avnei Nezer, says, when you learn, you make sure the main thing, you find the Rashba and the Ritva and the Rambam and the Rif, and you explain what they said and you understand what they said. So that's an interesting component of this Sefer, where on the one hand, there are a lot of chidushim here, and this Sefer, we'll talk about the topic of the Sefer in a minute, and it comes up halacha lemaisa. But the main thing he says is, we have to remember to understand the Pshat, to understand the Rishonim. So how did he go about doing this? So he wrote down his Chidushei Torah, but also skip to the back, go to the end, on page 4, you'll just see, oh no, is it not on your pages? No, it got cut off. You're missing a page in the back. Is it? I can't tell. Yeah. So it's not in your packet. I'll just read it out for you. So in the end, he has a little Ha'ara, also an interesting story, where he says, how did I go about doing this? Ulatov Yizachar Shem Bini Maharash Neiro Yair, who worked a lot on this. What does he mean when he says Bini Maharash? There was a man whose name was, we call him, the Shem Mishmuel, Rav Shmuel Bornstein, the son of the Avnei Nezer. So he says, I want to thank my son who helped me, because remember, at this time, he's getting older, and he's sick. He has his Chidushei Torah. So what does he do? He asks his son, Shmuel, who's going to be his successor as the Sacha Tshava Rebbe, who's going to print some very important svarim called Shem Mishmuel, because his name was Shmuel. He says, my son, help me. So here is the story of the Sefer. I started out, this is my youth. This is what happened when I couldn't have a yeshiva anymore. So I write the Sefer. This is the Derech HaLimud of my Sefer. And my son, I want to publicly thank him. He thanks him at the end of the Hakdama to thank him for helping me put out the Sefer, and everybody should enjoy it. That's Aleph. Questions, comments, observations? Yeah.
This was reading ahead on page 2, so line 21.
If they would like, if they are interested. If people are interested.
Oh, okay. Because it didn't say that. I was translating it differently. That if they don't like it.
Like, in Lo Sofet, like we said, Rivka, they say about Rivka, Vim Lo Si, Avram makes Eliezer swear that you'll take a girl only from my family, not from Canaan. And it says, "V'im lo soveho isha." If the woman doesn't want to come, then you don't have to worry about the shvua. So oveh ava means to desire. So he's saying, if the students will like my sefer, so then they'll benefit from the derech halim. But if they don't like it, because of date, all right. Any other questions, comments, or observations? Yeah, sure. So it's a quote, it's a play on words, but it means like the droplets of dew. Tal is dew. So the Torah is nimshal, is compared to water, and also in Parshas Ha'azinu, that it's tal, it's dew. So there is kind of a subtle, droplets. Now, he doesn't explain in the Hakdama why he calls it Eglei Tal. It's a good question. I don't know. Truth is, I didn't even think about that when I was putting it together. I'm so used to it. I should find out why he called the Sefer Eglei Tal. But he doesn't say.
Eglei. It's fine.
No. Eglei, it's a pasuk in Tanakh. It does mean moisture. I don't remember the exact translation. But I wonder why he called it Eglital. The simple probably is because, I'll give it away for a second, is that the book is about the Lamedtes Malachos, so the word Tal is Lamedtes backwards. So Lamedtes are the 39 Malachos, but I don't know why he called it Eglital. That's a, it's a play on a Tanakh verse. Yes, that's right. Yes. So I don't know why he chose this formulation, but I suspect that Tal is because of the Lamedtes, but I'm not sure. He doesn't explain it in the Hakdama, so I could just...
The introduction in the Hakdama, he says that teaching is better than learning or...
Right.
Is this a comment on his rub?
Meaning?
He locked himself up for 19 years just by himself.
Probably not. Probably not, because what he's saying is that... The goal of learning is for teaching, and certainly in the case of the Kotzker's world was the world of teaching. And then something happened, he felt like he couldn't teach anymore. But it's definitely, I don't think, to be understood that the Kotzker was his Rebbe. So the Kotzker also viewed the same thing, the idea of teaching. That's also for sure true. Yeah.
What the Talmuds do is a light coding.
Right.
Now you need to dig deeper.
Okay, could be. Very good. Right, that there's a surface level and then there's the deeper level. Yeah. So it's a play on words from Tanakh, and it's probably related to Melechus Shabbos, but I don't know. He doesn't really tell you why, as far as I could tell. So another interesting thing, just before we move to the subject of what this Sefer is about, is he writes at the end, he says, you should be careful. I wonder what was going on. I should ask Dr. Lyman. He writes at the end of the Hakdama, way, way at the end, he says, just put a little footnote there. You should be aware that there are a lot of forgeries out there in the world of Sfarim. So when you buy a Sefer, make sure it's the original. Make sure that the person who's publishing it. So I wonder what that is a reference to, but there were several cases, very interesting cases, in the 19th century of people who were peddling Sfarim in the name of some great rabbi who died 500 years before, and then it turns out that it was a forgery. One of the, probably the most famous forgery in history was a man who claimed that he had a copy of the Talmud Yerushalmi on the Seder of Kodshim, and some rabbis bought it and thought that it really was, and then they took it to some great Gaonim. I think they took it to the Rugachever. It took him about 30 seconds to recognize that it's not the Talmud Yerushalmi, because he knew all of Torah literally by heart. But so it's interesting that at the end of the book, he has this little footnote at the end of the Hakdama. It says, don't buy a book unless you know. This is my book, so it's fine. But in case you want to buy somebody's book, I wonder what was going on that caused that little footnote. So now we get to the topic, which is what Cheryl was alluding to, which is, what is this book about? So go to line 25. Ubacharti, he says, I chose Lahadfis Tchila Behilchus Shabbos. The Eglei Tal is about the laws of Shabbos. Why? Ya'an, because Shebashas and Sota and the Gemara and Sota, Shekol mitzvah mitzvah nechusu aleha arba brisos. Every mitzvah has four covenants. Lomod ulalamed lishma v'lasos. And we know that lomod ulalamed is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Umuvan, it's understood. Line 27. Shekashem sheshmir shabbos shakol kakol mitzvos. Just like shmir shabbos is equal to all the mitzvos. Kain lomod ulalamed behilchos shabbos shakol kalomod ulalamed b'chol mitzvos. Just like the observance of Shabbos is the observance of entirety of Torah. When a person takes a 25-hour break every week from the world and says, this is time that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says that literally that is their giving themselves over to the Ribbono Shel Olam for a full period of time. They're giving up their parnasa, their livelihood, everything that they are accomplishing. They set it aside. This is precious time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shakol Koneged Kol HaTorah Kula. That's why if somebody does not except Shabbos on themselves, it's like they're not observing all of the Torah. So says the Sagachavar, well, if it's observing Shabbos is like observing all of the Torah, then learning about Shabbos is like learning about all the Torah. And therefore, if I want to start somewhere, and remember now he's elderly, doesn't have time to do everything, he says, this is what I'm going to start with. So the Sefer, Eglei Tal, is a Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, and the way that it is organized, he says, is twofold, which relates a little bit to what he was talking about before, although not exactly, but he says, look, I want this Sefer to be two-tiered. I want it to be practical, that people should know how to observe the laws of Shabbos. But I also want it to be one of depth, that you should have number one, Svaras, and number two, explaining the Rishonim. So he says, I'll give you two things. I'm going to give you the inside, with the way it's printed in here, I'll give you the inside, which is the simple, basic law. This is what every malacha is. So he starts with the malachos related to making food. So he starts with zorea, planting, then he deals with choresh, right, plowing. After choresh is kotzer, then ma'amer, etc. So in the middle, he'll tell you A, B, C, D. And then on the outside, in these very gigantic man-eating footnotes, which take up the bulk of the Sefer, he gives you the svara for the din, and then the application of the din, and what the Rishonim said about this din. So there are a lot of chidushim that come out of these dinim that are used. When we learned Baruch Hashem in the Kola over the last 11 years, we've learned Hilchos Shabbos four times, because you want to make sure that the fellows, as they go through the Kola, this is something that when we were, at least when I was in yeshiva, we didn't have so much time to learn. So we want to make sure that everybody, as much as possible, gets a chance to do. It's indispensable. You can't learn Hilchos Shabbos without the Egel Tal. It's very important. So later Sfarim, Poskim, are going to quote the Chidushim, not so much in the top half, but in the bottom half. You know, a lot of times there are basic questions. Shelling peanuts at the table on Shabbos. So a lot of Rishonim, pistachio nuts and peanuts and grapes, pulling grapes off the stems. This is a big shaila in the Rishonim. How do you do that? Why is it permitted? How is it permitted? When is it permitted? So there are a bunch of different suggestions. And the Egel Tal has a very, very important suggestion. And this becomes probably the most accepted suggestion. Way back, we started, our first introduction was the introduction of the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa. In the footnotes in the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, you'll find every other page, you'll find a reference to the Egel Tal. But this is Sefer. You can't live in Hilchos Shabbos without this Sefer. And that's his tremendous legacy. Of course, he's probably more famous for the Avni Nezer, for the Tshuvas, for the Responsa, which span all areas of Torah. But, and this is the one Sefer that I'm aware of that we have that he printed before he died of his actual Chidushei Torah. But he chose Hilchos Shabbos because he wanted to have such an impact on the world, because he feels that Shabbos is Shokol Kenegad Kol HaTorah Kula, and that's why this is the Sefer that he's going to take. So far, so good? Okay. This all brings us to the main point that we wanted to learn today. The main thing. It's a good thing you didn't leave yet. Baruch Hashem, still here. He says, there's a mistake. We still have time. There's a mistake, huge mistake. If we didn't learn anything until now, that's fine, because this is the main thing to learn. There's a big mistake. Go to the next page. Go to page 3. Down. Down to line 29. Umidei Dabri. As I'm talking. I skipped to the section. It's not pertinent for us right now. Part of why Shabbos is such a major tikkun abris. Not for today. He says, as I'm talking. Zachor Eskor. Again, a play, a kind of a poetic phrase. Zachor Eskorenu. I will always remember. 29. Masha Shamati, what I heard, Ktsas Bnei Adam, some people, Toim Miderech HaSeichel. They're wrong. They have a huge error in their logic. Be'inyun Limud Torah Seinu HaKadosha, in the study of Torah. He says, I have to tell you, and if anybody asks you what is the teaching of the Egel Tal and the Hakdama, this is the most famous thing that he says. Very important thing. He says there are people, they might be big rabbis, they might be great Jews, but they have a huge mistake. Zigazint. Vamru, and they said, line 30, Ki halomed, a person who learns Torah, umachadish chidushim, and he comes up with new insights, v'sameach, and the person is happy, umisaneg bilimudo, and they enjoy it, that ain't ze lulmud Torah kol kach lishma. That's not such a high level of learning. It says that's what people think. People think, you. Some people think, you're supposed to learn, And your intent of learning is just be flishma, that you should focus on Hashem Yisbarach and understanding what the Ratzon of Hashem is. And that's it. And you should not enjoy it, because if you're enjoying it, that means there's something for you, and it's all supposed to be about Hashem Yisbarach. That's what, he says, some people say. He says, kamo, as if im hayalomi b'pshitus, that you don't have any enjoyment. Because, go to 32, if you learn and enjoy it, mis'arav b'limudo gam ha'noas atzmo. And says the Rebbe, ubehemes zetos mefursam. This is a huge error. Tos mefursam. Va'adaraba, the opposite is true. Kizehi ikar mitzvas limud ha'torah. Lios sas v'sameach u'misanig b'limudo. The main thing in learning is that it should be, you use the Yiddish expression, it should be geschmack. You should enjoy learning. Why, he says? V'oz divrei Torah, line 33, nivla'in bedamo. They become suffused into our blood. They become part of us. A person who learns Torah but doesn't enjoy it, doesn't get into it, isn't excited about it. So they learn and they finish and they move on to something else. It doesn't become part of them. It's not integrated into their personality. It is what it is. You know, we learn a lot of things and a lot of, you know, we learn about banking. So we learn about banking. We have to know how to open a bank account, how to count, how to balance a checkbook, right? We're supposed to know how to do that. I don't find that's such a geschmack thing to do. So if I was more educated, maybe I would find it was more geschmack. But so I don't get so excited about it. So you put it in the money in the bank, you take out the money, thank God you have money, Baruch Hashem, but you don't get so excited about it.
It's very exciting.
I'm sure. Right, Nathan? It's very exciting?
Right.
Ah, you guys are very excited. So he says, it doesn't become part and parcel of you. You know, when somebody, when they're very good at I don't know, whatever it is, the thing that they do, but they're not so excited about it, it's okay. But then you have somebody who is excited about whatever that enterprise is. You know, it could be they're the best, world's best chocolate chip baker. They're the best chocolate chip cookie baker, and that's their thing. They get so into it, and they drop it off at the neighbor's house, and they give it to the kids on the block, and the grandchildren have it, and the thing. They love it. It gets so much hislavas, and it becomes part of their identity, that this person is the chocolate chip baker, and everybody has so much simcha, and that's what they... So the Rebbe says, if a person learns, and you don't enjoy it, so it's not going to become part of who you are. It'll always be just a course of study, of interest. But it doesn't become part of you. And if the goal of, one of the goals, if the goal of learning is that we should become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should really have an experience that the Shechina is with us, so we have to be excited about it. And not only do we have to be excited about it, we have to enjoy it. If it's a miserable, wretched experience, then he says it's not going to last. I'll get to you one second. There is a story, a poem. Some of you are familiar with this poem. It's a very beautiful poem. It's a little bit of a haunting poem. It's authored by a well-known poet, a guy by the name of Bialik. Bialik wrote a poem called Hamasmid. And it's about a boy, a bacher, probably in Volozhin. We mentioned that Bialik lived in Volozhin, learned in Volozhin. And there's some beautiful nostalgia in that poem, but the truth is, the description of that poem is wretched and awful and callous and cold and miserable. And it doesn't surprise me that if a person's experience in the world of learning has all those adjectives, they're not going to be found for very long in a Beis HaMedrash. They didn't enjoy it. It wasn't geschmack. And so he went a different path. He still made great contributions to the Jewish people and to Klal Yisrael and to a lot of different things. But that to me is a simen ra. If a person goes to a learning experience and they feel that it was so spiritually desiccated, it was so not enjoyable, it was so wretched, the Rebbe says that's a big problem. Quite the opposite. We should make sure that our learning experience is enjoyable. It doesn't mean it has to be easy, and it doesn't mean that it's always fun. Sometimes it is fun. When you come up with a new idea, if you work for hours on a question and you're troubled by it, and then you come up with an answer, you see, I've heard stories and seen people who really had so much simcha in their learning, it was incredibly inspiring. Doesn't mean it's always fun, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you see they light up when they have a teretz. But even if it's not always fun, but the idea that this is beautiful and this is what I want to be doing and I'm enjoying it, the Rebbe says that is something that needs to be part of the goal of learning. It's got to be a goal of learning for us. So if we don't enjoy learning, so many times I can tell you personally, I'll daven for more simcha in my learning. I'll ask Hashem, can you help me enjoy my learning more? Because that's a big part of learning. You know, if we're not enjoying it, who's going to be motivated to keep doing it? So he says, part of the word achidush means renewal. So we're always looking for a new insight, because part of what newness brings is excitement and enjoyment. Everybody loves it when we have something new to share. Yeah, so what are we going to say?
I mean, it's in our Tehillim, words of Torah are sweet, sweeter than the honey. And I know where you're going with this.
So now you answered the question. You should have given this year. What do I have to do? So now you understand why, in a house of mourning, a person doesn't engage in the process of limud. Because through learning Torah, we're supposed to have hanas atzma. We're supposed to enjoy it. It's supposed to be really wonderful. And a person who is focused on their avelus, that's not the right frame of mind. Right? The pasuk says in Tehillim, Pekudei Hashem Yesharim, the dictates of God are straight, Mesamchei Lev. They make us happy. If somebody is really learning in the right way, says the Sacha Tshaver, they're happy. They walk out of the Beis Medrash, they feel good about themselves. They feel like they identify with it. It's Ikar Mitzvahs Limud HaTorah is to enjoy it. And says Viter, Umeacher, line 33, Shenanami Divrei Torah, since we enjoy learning, Hu Nase Dovak LaTorah, we become connected to the Torah. It becomes something that we are one with it, because we enjoy it, we like doing it. We'll want to come back for more. Yeah, Glenn.
So I'm going to be a cranky old man for a minute.
You're entitled.
So, one man's Kiddush is another man's ho-hum. So, we got a whole book here, and maybe this is the resolution to it, that you have to pay attention to really what Pesach is directly, because the rest of it you can take and enjoy or not. And but one of the things that, look how thick that book is. A lot of other people's look at how great this is and how exciting it is. And some of it isn't.
Right. So, that's why I think the idea that the Rebbe is telling us is, find what's interesting to you. Find what you're going to love. So you have some students who love learning Gemara. And for some students, they love learning Mishnayos. And you have some students who love learning Tanakh. So find what you love. That's part of what we say in the morning when we say Berachas HaTorah. What do we say? We say there's the bracha of Lasuk B'Divrei Torah. So the word Asuk means to dig, to be busy. And then we say to Hashem Yisbarach, Vaharavna, let us enjoy it. Let it be sweet for us. Let it be enjoyable. So we're going to have to find out. That's why it says, V'sein chelkenu b'sora secha. Every person has a different chelek. I'm quite confident that some people would find this year that we're doing this year incredibly boring. Painfully boring. If we tied them down to a chair, this would be Gehenna for them. So this is not for them. For me, it's the opposite. When I feel that I never saw a picture of the Avni Nezer, I looked around online, I couldn't find a picture of the Avni Nezer. It's quite possible there is no, I don't know, I didn't check far enough to see. But I feel like I met the Avni Nezer a little bit. I feel like that's amazing. Because maybe I'm not such a great Torah scholar, but he was and I met him. I feel like that's something. Maybe I'm just interested in name dropping. You know, I once met the Avnei Yisr. You know, there are people like that. But to me, that's an unbelievable chizuk. You know, for other people, it's so boring. It's totally not interesting. Yeah.
If that's the premise, Yes, then how is it that there is learning in between Mincha Ma'ariv at a house of mourning?
Ah, so that's exactly what we try to navigate. So usually what we will learn, let's see, so at least I could speak for what Rabbi Yudin taught me. So he told me, he made a great point. He said, when we learn Pirkei Avos at the house of mourning, we're focusing on the life lessons that Chazal gave us. And oftentimes we can connect those life lessons that you'll find in Pirkei Avos and Ethics of the Fathers to the person, to the family, to the meaning and the legacy. So even though there is a little bit element of Talmud Torah, it's more in the realm of, the Pasuk says, Tov l'leches l'beis eva l'leches l'beis mishneh. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a party. Why? Because when we walk out of a house of mourning, we feel inspired. We feel moved. We feel elevated that we learn from this person's life and the things that they taught us and the life that they lived. So it's a focus not so much on the joy of the learning, but on the meaning of the learning. And that makes it more apropos to the house of mourning. Happens to be that the general counterbalance is that it's a zechus for the neshama, and that's why people usually learn Mishnayos, because the word Mishnah and the word neshama have the same letters, so there is a spiritual connection there. But the idea is that the mourning, that the you know, there are stories about great gedolim, someone like the Ragachover Gon, Rav Yosef Rosen. If you ever see the rugged shover, he had wild, long hair. So the legend is that he would tie the hair to the back of his chair so he wouldn't fall asleep. It would keep him up, make sure that he would never fall asleep. But he had very severe gastrointestinal problems at the end of his life. And he had a lot of health challenges. But he was one of the greatest geniuses. So he would talk in learning. And that when he was learning, he was enjoying it so much that he wouldn't focus on the physical pain that he had. So at the end of his life, he had to be taken out for surgery. So he had somebody who went with him, and they continued to learn, and that carried him through the surgery, just the learning with this bacher. And so there was a big thing that they had to keep learning with him so that he wouldn't be suffering so much. But nobody could go learn with the Ragachover. He was a very, very sharp man. He would throw students out if they weren't literally like the top of the top. So when the Ragachover was very ill, they just published a new volume of the Tshuvas, the Shilas and Tshuvas, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger was the Grain Gaon from Posen, from the prior generation, earlier in the 19th century. And the Ragachover, because he was sick, had never seen the Tshuvas of Rabbi Kiva Eger. So somebody came up with a great shtick, awesome idea. They took every tshuva from this page and they hand it out to another bacharel, and everybody's going to go in, this one's going to take in this first tshuva, they're going to see if they can stump the Ragachover because he never seen these shilas before. And that was the way that they were able to learn with him. And the legend goes that every boy who walked in from his hospital bed, from his sick bed, he answered every tshuva Rebbe gave Eger just like that. So for him, it's amazing. I think legend has it that he used to learn on Tisha B'Av. Legend has it. He says he would be suffering so much, not be able to learn, that he couldn't stand it. So he would learn on Tisha B'Av. Halavai, we should get to that madrig. You can imagine, he was suffering so much, he didn't learn. So he used to sneak a sefer on Tisha B'Av when nobody was looking. That's what the Sachachavar is talking about. But that only comes about if a person really loves it. So it's not a thing that we can accomplish in one day or 2 days, but the idea that the learning should be geschmack is so beautiful. And he explains with this a Rambam, a difficult Rambam. Take a look at the top of the next column, number four. Turn the whole packet over. He says, with this, I can explain the Rambam. Amazing Rambam. Because there is a Gemara. The Gemara says in Psachim that a person should always be osik in Torah and mitzvos. Shalolishma means, literally, not for the sake of the mitzvah. Meaning, somebody says, do you want to shake a lulav? You say, no, I'm not in the mood. So he puts it in your hand, you shake it anyway. So the Rambam says, it's a good thing to do. The Gemara says, it's a good thing to do. Why? Shemitoch shalolishma, even when you're not motivated, balishma. But he says, it's very interesting, that the Rambam does not quote the Gemara the way that it's printed. The Rambam on the top line, he says, at the end of the top line on page 4, La'olam yasak adam b'torah shalol lishma, shimitoch shalol lishma balishma. What did the Rambam omit? What did the Rambam leave out from our original description? We said, the Gemara says in Pesachim that a person should always learn Torah and do mitzvos shalol lishma, without the right intent, so that you will come to do it with the proper intent eventually. You get in the habit of doing it. What did the Rambam write? That's right. The Rambam only says that a person should learn shalol lishma, but he does not say it's a good idea to do mitzvah shalol lishma. Why does he leave that out? So the Sachat Shavar goes on to explain, he has a whole hemshech here, which we don't have time for, to suggest that because the Rambam's opinion is that mitzvah is srichas kavana, the Rambam really thinks that if you don't have intent for doing a mitzvah, it's not worthwhile. It doesn't help you. It's mitzvah srichas kavana, and without kavana, it doesn't help you. But learning is different. How does he know that? He says the following suggestion. The Gemara says in Krisus, let's say something called misasek. Misasek means that a person has no awareness that they're doing anything at all. So, for example, if I wake up in the middle of the night on Leil Shabbos on Friday night, and I walk into the restroom, and I just do that as I walk into the restroom, and then I realize, I turn around and say, oh, I just turned on the lights. So did I think about turning on the lights? If you would ask me, was I even aware that I turned on the lights? No. So that's called misasik. I'm walking on Shabbos, I'm walking along, and I see there's a pen on the floor, and I go to, not a pen on the floor, I see there's a carrot on the floor, or a piece of food, and I go to pick it up, and I thought I picked up a piece of food, but when I reached down, I accidentally picked up a piece of grass. So I violated the malach of kotzer. But I was trying to pick up the piece of food that was on the floor. So that's misasik, that's not a problem. That's not an avera at all. So Maris Krisa says, except in two cases, chalovim va'arayos. If a person eats something, chalev is a forbidden fat that's toward the bottom of the animal, even if you didn't pay attention, you didn't even know that you were eating chalev, but you still have to do tshuva, you still have to atone for that. Why? Because at the end of the day, it tastes delicious. You still enjoyed it. So even though you didn't plan on eating that chalev, somebody you got a hamburger, you ordered it from a kosher restaurant, somebody unbeknownst to you substituted, put chalev in your hamburger. You had no idea in the world. Totally misasik. The Gemara says, you're going to bring a carbon for that.
How did you know it tastes good?
Because it's fatty. How could it not taste good? That's right. Their neighbor told them. So that's the din in the Gemara. Misasik b'chalov v'arayis is chayev. Makes sense, right? Because even though you didn't intend on doing it, you still enjoyed it. You still enjoyed that tray food. That was chalev. So says the Avnei Nezer, he says, well, that's the pshat for us too. Because when a person learns Torah, it should be enjoyable like eating a delicious hamburger. And so even though the person is shalol lishmo, they're not intending to do the learning because it's important to do learning. But just the experience of learning, which includes, he says, essential to learning is enjoying it. So at the end of the day, they enjoyed their learning. And if they enjoyed their learning, they did the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Rambam, even though the Rambam holds that you need kavana, and there's no point in doing a mitzvah shaloba kavana, but learning is different. Why is learning different? Because for the Avnei Nezer, for the Eglei Tal, learning is by definition enjoyable. And if we're not enjoying our learning, then we're not really learning. So if every learning is enjoyable, memela, of course, if a person is misasik, just learning because whatever, that's also going to be a complete fulfillment of the limud, and you should do that because one day you'll do it for the right reason. It's all based on the same premise, this beautiful idea that, and that's the takeaway, that Talmud Torah, says the Eglei Tal, is supposed to be shekeinen. It's supposed to be something that we enjoy and we look forward to, and we have a geschmack. And so hopefully, as we grow in our own learning, we'll keep this in mind. This is how we orient ourselves. This is how he introduces the sefer, that when you learn this, and if this sefer might not be the shekeinen for you, so it'll be a different sefer. But it's with the idea that Nobody should tell you that learning is supposed to be dry and soulless and without enjoyment. Learning is supposed to be enjoyable, and it's true not just for younger people, for children, but it's also true for us. So we got to find ways and create ways to follow the Mahalach, the path of the Egel Tal, so that our learning is shekein nen, that it is enjoyable, and we'll connect through that. We will be David in our Torah. Have a great week. Shalom.